Today's scripture is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 68 through 79. And it reads, "Blessed be the Lord of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors, and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestors, Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him in all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Good morning. We continue this season of Advent, and I always love looking at the banner to remind us it's a season of hope and faith, of love and joy. It's this time that we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior, the child born in the manger. We acknowledge that Jesus is the Messiah that came to the world, and we prepare for this wonderful news and announcement that is to come. We also accept this precious gift that God gives to humankind in the midst of all the Christmas shopping and gifts that we will give and receive. Who wouldn't be filled then with hope and love and joy during this season? It's all these wonderful things that we can celebrate. But I also want to talk about what happens in the darkness of this season, when there sometimes isn't hope and faith and love and joy. Let us pray first. Gracious and loving God, I ask that the words of my mouth reflect your will, your way for us, that you know the reflections we hold in our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are our Creator, our Father, our Redeemer, our Savior. Amen. So yes, everyone is happy during this Christmas season, and we celebrate the birth of Christ. It's a wonderful thing that everyone would celebrate. How can you not be happy? People sing carols, they go to parties, you gather with families, you have stores filled with gifts and wonderful Christmas displays and delicious baked goods. Even we here at church get into this Advent Christmas spirit by all the things we do. Next Saturday, it'll be wonderful that many children and family and people from Chinatown community will gather here for the Children's Choir Christmas Party celebration. It's so wonderful to see all the carnival games that are being planned, the refreshments that are being served, and the Santa visit, the special visit from Santa that is being arranged as well for this wonderful Christmas celebration. Our English ministry will have a Christmas party on Saturday the 19th, and Gaius and Lucy are hosting it at their home, so definitely see Lucy to sign up for the potluck. We'll have singing and fun things to do as well. Our youth group will have a fun gift exchange on the 20th for their youth group Christmas party. And then today, we have the United Methodist Women Bake Sale, delicious food that can be bought and eaten and gifts as well. We do so much as church and people as we prepare for Christmas, wonderful, joyous things. But then sometimes I challenge us to stop in the midst of all these wonderful and joyous things to really think about the reason for Christmas. What is this a season of? We know it is a season of hope and faith and love and joy, but we also need to understand that Advent is supposed to be a season of longing, a season of wanting, a season of need. I'm not talking about longing for that perfect Christmas gift, the iPad or iPhone or whatever else is on your list. I'm not talking about the need to have the best Christmas party or the best display of Christmas lights on your house. I'm talking more about a longing, a need, a wanting for Christ in our lives, the need for Christ in this world that is so important. But first, I want to share a scenario-like story. You know how I love my stories. So imagine there's a man, and the man and his wife have a loving relationship. They've been married for many, many years. And after being married for so many years, their friends and family begin to wonder, when is this man and wife going to start having a child? And the man and wife do try to have a child. And as years pass, their trying does not result in a child. Soon the wife grows older and older, even, they say, past childbearing years. And then one day this man, who is actually a priest, a minister, well known in his community, is working before the altar of his church, and an angel appears before this man and tells this man that his wife will have a child, a beautiful, blessed child, a child that will help the faith. And this man is so in awe of what's happening before him, and yet not believing that that is possible, so much so that he tells the angel, I don't believe it's possible. My wife is too old. We've already accepted that we will never have children. And the angel says, it will happen. You will name this child John, but because right now you are disbelieving, you will be mute. From that point on, the man is mute. He goes out in front of his church ready to say the prayers for the people. He is mute. He cannot speak. He goes home and he wants to tell his wife what he had seen, the vision. He is mute. He cannot speak. And sure enough, his wife does become pregnant. And sure enough, his wife does have a child. But this man is still mute. I'm going to pick on some of the fathers here. Let's see. Brian, when you found out Tanya was pregnant, who was the first three people that you told? Mom, dad, and best friend, okay? Andy, what about you when you found out Cynthia was pregnant? Who was the first three people about maybe with Ileana's birth? Who you told? Oh yeah. I'll do the newer fathers. I won't put the other fathers on the spot. So, well, let's do Andy Chan first and then Andy Louie. Or just the first person you told then, besides, you know, your parents. Okay. And now Andy Louie, pick any daughter. I know it's been 17 plus years, probably a family member as well. Yeah. But you told someone, you were joyful, you had this great news to share when your wife became pregnant. Any great news, it's so wonderful. In the church, we have the parents who stand up during joys and concerns and share the wonderful news that they are expecting. Can you imagine being mute, not being able to go out and tell this wonderful, blessed news to a family member, to a best friend, to a coworker, to your church family? This is what happened to that man. He was mute for many months. And then the child was born, a beautiful, wonderful thing that happened to his wife who was older in life. And they named that child. The child in this past tradition, the Jewish tradition, was to be named on the eighth day when the child was circumcised. Now, also think about the scenario. You're older in life. This is the son you have. And it's probably, honestly, going to be the only child you have. So a lot of people thought, well, then they're going to name this son Junior something after the man. So this man, and this will give away the story, was named Zechariah. So everyone expected the son to be called Zechariah Jr. But the wife said, and the wife didn't know the angel's message because the man, the husband, was mute and never told her. But the wife said, no, we're not going to name him Zechariah Jr., even though he's the only heir, the firstborn and onlyborn son. She said, we're going to name him John. And the people in the family, they then brought in the husband and said, your wife wants to name him John, not Zechariah. Can you believe that? Is that going to happen? And they had Zechariah then write on a tablet the name that he would choose. Because remember, he cannot speak. He is mute. And Zechariah wrote John. And the child was named John. And this child was John the Baptist. A special child born that was so important a part of Jesus' life and ministry. Not just because of blood relation, because of the way that John the Baptist helped prepare the world for Jesus that was to come. So in this season of Advent, when I want to talk about how we are not just joyful and hopeful and loving, but we are also in a season of longing and need, we look at John the Baptist. When he was born, the words that the angel spoke about him and his birth, and what was happening at that time. So now when John the Baptist was born, the world was longing for many things. They were longing for justice. They were longing for freedom. They were longing for God's love in a different way. The world knew and the people knew that they had been sinning and turning away from God and getting further and further away from God. And with the birth first of John the Baptist, and then 5 months later with Jesus, this Christ child that was born in Bethlehem, the world was beginning to change and turn, and new and exciting things were happening for what God was doing. Remember the psalm that I shared last week about things that we need to be thankful for God and what God does for us. We need to be thankful that God forgives our iniquities, thankful that God redeems us, and thankful that God crowns us with his love. He does all these wonderful things. And then in John's time, when John the Baptist was born, many thousands of years before, the prophet spoke of a Messiah, a Savior that was to come. If you were to think about in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, how many times did the persons talk about a Messiah, a Savior to come? Would you be able to guess? Do we have any Bible nerds here that can guess the number? So there's different sort of, numbers, but they all usually average around 350. In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible, from Genesis all the way through the prophets and on, the Psalms and the Proverbs, 350 plus times it talks about a Messiah, a Savior to be born. From even the beginning, it talks in Genesis about a birth from a virgin that is to happen for the world. We know in Job, he talks about in chapter 9, verse 33, that there will be someone, a special mediator between God and man that is to come. And the prophets from Isaiah to Daniel to Ezekiel and Michael, all the prophets spoke of a special person that is to come. I love a passage from Isaiah 53, verse 4 to 5, that says, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, punished for our peace. His wounds healed our wounds." This passage from Isaiah talks about those things from Psalms that we should be thankful for what God does for us. But it specifically mentions a person who will do these things, a person that will bear our pain and suffering, a person that will be pierced for our transgressions, a person who will be punished for our peace, and whose wounds will heal our wounds. This person that they speak about is Jesus Christ, who will be born much later. And it all starts then with the birth of John the Baptist, who, as the angel reminds, will be someone who will help raise up a mighty Savior. In this morning's scripture passage from Luke chapter 1, verse 69 to 70 says, "He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from old." Here the angel that is speaking to Zechariah after the birth of his son John is reminding of the words of the prophets, foretelling then of this birth that is to come. The passage from John goes on to say, "And you, child John, will be called to be a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord and prepare his ways to give knowledge and salvation to the people for the forgiveness of their sins." So we know that John grew up to be John the Baptist, baptizing people, replenishing them, and forgiving them of their sins through the baptism, and preparing the way for Jesus. It'll be wonderful that next Sunday, Andy and Cynthia have chosen for Ileana to be baptized, so we will celebrate that together as a church, as Ileana is initiated into the wonderful Christian faith. For John the Baptist was also the person who first baptized people, young and old, and telling them to prepare the way for the Lord, this important message of the times. And we today then are called to prepare the way for the Lord as well, to not remember a season of Advent for just hope and love and faith and joy, but to remember the season of Advent to help people who are longing for Jesus Christ, to help the world that is in need. I ask one question, and this might see the importance. How many people have opened the Bible this week? Even once opened the Bible to read a scripture passage? A couple of hands. Okay, so how many times did you do this? Maybe just hold up some fingers and show the people around you. Once is good, twice, four times. I see some fours and twos, wonderful. Okay, so you saw a couple of hands and you saw some fingers. I don't think I ever saw any double digit ones, right? They were all one, two. I mean, you could get seven because there are 7 days this past week. Now, this is a new question. How many people opened their laptop or turned on their computer this week? Raise your hands. More hands, right? Now, of those who raised your hands, how many times did you do that? Just once the whole week? be honest. 3 times the whole week? 5, 7? You know, if we're honest with ourselves, we turn on our laptops or our computers or our iPads or even our smartphones now, right? You have access to the internet that way. Some people do it 3, 4, 5 times in a single day, right? If we're honest with each other. I know my own day is, my cell phone alarm goes off, I turn it off, and I look at the weather or I look at some news. So that's once. I get to work, I turn on the computer or open my laptop. That's twice. I get home, I like to see what friends are doing on Facebook or write messages on my iPad 3 times in one day. I'm honest. We do that. But then it looks like, are we focusing more on these things and not on Scripture and the Word of God? We are a country that is in longing. We are people that is in need more of Christ in our lives. That is proven with what's happening in the world even just this past week. In our own backyard, we hear about the tragic shooting in San Bernardino, where a Muslim couple, unfortunately, chose to be terrorists, to kill other persons. And the backstory is that this couple also had a daughter that they left with the grandmother, knowing that they were going to do what they were going to do and most likely lead in their death. Can you imagine that kind of world where people are so fanatic about their God that they are willing to sacrifice their lives to be killed for it, to leave a daughter abandoned in a way? What is our world coming to? We need Jesus Christ in this world. We need what he represents. He is light in the darkness for us. As we light the Advent candles, we remember the hope and the faith and the love that Jesus Christ brings to our world. For we know also that in this morning's passage, when they talk about John, they say also about this child that is to come. In chapter 1, verse 78 to 79, by the tender mercy of God, the dawn from high will break upon us, and the light to give those who sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into ways of peace. We are in a shadow of death. We are in darkness. We are in a world where more people, and if we are honest, we even do this, more people open their laptops or turn on their computers than open the Bible to read the Word of God. Where more people attend the altars of the shopping malls and grocery stores and all those things they think they need in their lives than to attend before the altar and pray to God. We are a place of longing and need, and we need Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in this world. So this Advent season, I want to talk more about that, the longing and the need that is needed in this world as well. And when you can recognize that we have longing and need in our lives for God in our lives to draw closer to God through Jesus Christ, then we have the hope and the faith and love that Jesus Christ represents. Let us pray. Lord, we have heard your word this Advent Sunday, a reminder of the darkness that is still in this world, the darkness that was there when John the Baptist was born, the darkness that was there when Jesus, a lone child, was born in a manger with his parents. We know that this darkness turned into light when your son Jesus began his ministry, when your son Jesus was arrested for us, and when your son Jesus died on the cross for us. Lord, we just ask that you guide us during this time as well, that we can be a light to the world, to help fulfill the longing and need that is needed, and to bring you to bring the good news of Jesus Christ, our Savior, to the world. Amen. Christ the Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is a right and good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth.
You formed us in your image and breathed the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the world, to make disciples of all nations, and today his family in all the world is joining at his holy table.
On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Lord Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. Gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving is a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim together the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be the body for us, the blood of Christ, the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his love. Renew our communion with your church throughout the world and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Let us say, break the body of Christ given to us. Let us take it gracefully and our life be consecrated to the Lord. Together we respond, Amen. Amen. Christ's table is open for all. You can come forward as you are able, and Andy and the ushers will help guide you.
There are no words in times like these, when tears don't hide the tragedies, and all you want is a reason for the world. No comfort in a greeting card, 'cause God is good, but life's still hard, and your heart just wants a reason for the world. strength, and maybe the reason for the strength is so that we would not lose hope, and maybe the reason for our hope is so that we could face the world, and the reason for the world is to make us long for God so loved your broken heart. He sent his son to where you are. He died to give a reason for the world. So lift your sorrows to the one whose plan for you has just begun. And rest here in the hands that hold.
for me to live is Christ.
pray now our Lord's Prayer, as His Son Jesus Christ taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, amen.
Now it's the time in our service for the giving of our offerings. Would the ushers please come forward? All rise for the doxology. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you with a thankful heart. We come to you recognizing the hope and the love that you give us. We pray that all that we give, all that we have, that you will use it and use this to further your works in our church, in our community, and in this world. Lord, we pray that all those people that walk in goodness, in love for you, with you, will be able to walk peacefully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now it's time for our announcements, which you can find on the right-hand side of your bulletin. Are there any other announcements that need to be added or highlighted?
I apologize to Andy and Cynthia. For some reason, I guess the computer double-typed some sentences, so it's not some weird name that we invented, but it is Andy and Cynthia and Sister Isabel, who we will celebrate together the baptism of Ileana next Sunday. And then also two other things. The La Trinidad toy drive, I do have a revised list that includes children's ages, two boys, ages 4 to 6, two girls, ages 4 to 6, those are some of the ones that are still needed for sign-up, so please see me after worship for signing up if you are able to donate toys for La Trinidad United Methodist Church. And then also one last thing is, already 2016, those calendars that we have are available, and we'll have them by the piano here after worship. One per family is encouraged to take it. And even if your family no longer uses paper calendars, I would encourage you to take a calendar and maybe give it to a friend or neighbor just to spread the love of Christ that way and invite them to worship with us, because it does have the church information on that. So thanks so much.
One announcement in the back. So yes, if you can come over and help next week, that would be great. Also, I think we still need just a little bit more help finishing decorations in this room as well as the fellowship hall. So All right, then, let's move on to our closing hymn, and we'll only be singing verse 1. O little town of Bethlehem, would you please stand?
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent star go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hope and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight.
That was fun at the time. Now may the Lord continue to bless you and keep you. May you be filled with a season of hope, love, faith, and joy. But remember the longing we all have for Jesus Christ. And may the Holy Spirit empower you, rejuvenate you, and be blessed. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
All the bitter, weary ways, the endless striving day by day. Have the strength to pray in the valley low.